We rise. Grace to you and peace from him who loved us and washed us from our sins in his blood and has made us kings and priests to God. To him be glory and dominion now and forever. Amen. The word of the Lord, which we'll consider, comes from Psalm 93. The Lord reigns. He is clothed with majesty. The Lord is clothed. He has girded himself with strength. Surely the world is established so that it cannot be moved. Your throne is established from of old. You are from everlasting. The floods have lifted up, O Lord. The floods have lifted up their voice. The floods lift up their waves. The Lord on high is mightier than the noise of many waters, than the mighty waves of the sea. Your testimonies are very sure. Holiness adorns your house, O Lord, forever. This is the word of the Lord. You may be seated. Dear Lord, as we gather to receive your kingdom, we pray that you would sanctify us by your truth, for your word is truth. Amen. In Jesus' name, who is, who was, and who is to come, our Redeemer, dear fellow redeemed. Just recently, the media was able to bring us extensive coverage of the waves that plummeted the shores of New Jersey and the East Coast. In Hurricane Sandy, we really saw the waves lifting up their voices. The force and destruction of this storm was as simple for Sandy as I would go and kick over my child's house of Lincoln Logs. You ever feel like such storms have passed through your life? The floods lifting up their voices, drowning. This last Sunday of the church year, we commemorate Christ as King. We recognize that in the midst of whatever floods we experience, it is the Lord who reigns. In him, wave upon wave cannot cover us. As Jesus said, the rains descended, the floods came, and the winds blew and beat on that house, and it did not fall, for it was founded on the rock. That rock is the words and works of our Lord Jesus Christ. The Lord reigns. He has established the world. He has established his throne. And he has established his word. And it is mightier than many waters. Those waves crash. That flood lifts up its voice. So who is in control? I remember having this discussion with a coworker of mine. And although he agreed that God was almighty, eternal, he didn't necessarily think that God knows all things or has control of everything. As he put it, I think God gets surprised once in a while. If this is the case, then to some degree, we're really on our own. If God doesn't know all things that are going to happen to you in your life, and how the course of this world is going to go, how can we know that he's going to work everything together for good? Ultimately, how can we know he's going to keep his promises? His promises to save us from sin. We read in our text, the Lord reigns, he is clothed with majesty. The Lord is clothed, he has girded himself with strength. Surely the world is established so that it cannot be moved. Literally, it cannot be shaken. It will not totter. The Lord has established the world. However, for us, we live inside of the world. We live inside of a world that is bound by a curse, and the sway of sin leaves us unsteady. In times of distress, we feel like we totter and we topple in the midst of our own sins, in the midst of our own troubles. Only God can keep this world and your lives stable. Take life systems, for example. Our world is an intricate balance. A slight change in the atmosphere from 21% oxygen and 78% nitrogen would make life here impossible. If the Earth were to move, in relatively small changes in distance from the sun or the moon, we would either be scorched, frozen, or flooded. What keeps this world from tottering? As we read in verse 1, he is robed in majesty. It pictures the majesty of a king. You could picture a military officer in our army that wears stripes or medals to show you his rank and his honor. Our Lord is robed in the highest rank. His isn't a democracy which is governed by many. His is a monarchy governed by one, meaning he has supreme control over the world that he created. Nothing is beyond him. Strength is his belt. As Isaiah writes in Isaiah chapter 46, "Remember the former things of old, for I am God, there is no other. I am God, and there is none like me, declaring the end from the beginning, and from ancient times things that are not yet done, saying, my counsel shall stand." Nothing surprises God. There is nothing that can make this world or your lives totter that he is not fully in control of. When God says there's no other God beside him, he means there's nothing else more powerful or more in control that is able to challenge him. The Lord on high is mightier than the noise of many waters. Indeed, he has established the world. We can never truly understand the Lord's supreme reign if we don't understand his throne. And we will never understand his throne if we don't understand who it is that sits on the throne and how he rules. Without knowing what God's gracious rule is and how it comes to us, a hurricane like Sandy takes hundreds of lives and leaves us kingless, on our own, thinking God's not in control and totally confused about how God reigns as king. But with Christ, we see things differently. With an understanding of the eternal Son of God who gave up all the glories of heaven to come in our place, to live a perfect life of obedience, to conquer sin and death, well, now we see that reign of the Lord taking shape. Now we see that every flood that enters our lives, every circumstance, cannot change what Christ our Lord has done. We see that the Lord has established his throne. Verse 3, "The floods have lifted up, O Lord, the floods have lifted up their voice." It's a frightful thing to face something that's not under your control. I, for instance, have a slight fear of heights. And so if I'm climbing up a ladder and I get to one of those top rungs where there's no longer anything to grab onto, I get scared. I feel I'm not in control of what's going on in my life. The waters that flood our lives can give us that feeling, out of control. Maybe at work things seem out of control. Maybe you have a child growing up or going off to college and suddenly you're not under they're not under your control anymore. Maybe it's your own sins or weaknesses that seem to be out of control. Yes, rightly so, we should feel out of control. We should be afraid. We're as good as dead. We're drowning in the floods of our own sins and our own weaknesses. The waves are mighty. Temptation, the evil that's around and within, left to our sins and weaknesses, we can't keep our heads above water. We're lost at sea. Unless the Lord on high is mightier than the noise of many waters. Unless God's kingdom could come in such a way that it would take every one of those sins and every one of those weaknesses and be rid of it. Unless God's kingdom could come to provide a righteousness and holiness that we lack, something to grab onto when things are out of control, something to stabilize us, reminding us what is truly important in our lives. Unless God could crown a king that brings grace and love, conquers sin, and leads us to trust him in every way. As Jesus said, "My kingdom is not of this world. If my kingdom were of this world, my servants would fight. But now my kingdom is not from here." Yes, his kingdom is not witnessed or known through the external things we see in our lives or within us. It comes not through force and violence. That would only condemn us. His kingdom steadies us through the hearing of his word, through the gospel, working in our hearts to trust in his victory in the midst of defeat, working in our hearts to lay hold of his victory in the midst of our greatest fears, the loudest waters crashing, the true victory. From Daniel chapter 7, "I was watching in the night visions, and behold, one like the Son of Man coming with the clouds of heaven. He came to the Ancient of Days, and they brought him near before him. Then to him was given dominion and glory and a kingdom, that all peoples, nations, and languages should serve him. His dominion is an everlasting dominion which will not pass away, and his kingdom the one which will not be destroyed." This once dead Jesus now lives and reigns over your life, in your heart, and over all the challenges that oppose him and your life. He has established his throne. When Jesus was confronted with that question by Pilate, "Are you a king?" he responds, "You say rightly that I am a king." He agrees with this statement. "For this cause I was born, and for this cause I have come into the world, that I should bear witness to the truth. Everyone who is of the truth hears my voice." Yes, unlike the kings and governments we've known in this world, this king comes not by force. He comes by a love that flowed forth from the cross. He extends his kingdom to conquer every sinful opposition. And he does so by bearing witness, as it says from John. Bearing witness to the truth. Assuring you that no matter what you think is inside you or outside of you, his truth is what matters. In reading, preaching, hearing, and receiving, this comes to us as the word bears witness. He reigns in his word. Verse 5, "Your testimonies are very sure. Holiness adorns your house, O Lord, forever." Perhaps a flood of accusation has lifted up its voice in your life. Perhaps a flood of doubt whether God will see you through something that you're struggling with. Perhaps an accusation of a past sin keeps rising up again and again, lifting its voice, telling you that God's kingdom has left you. It's gone. Telling that you are no longer within his reign and forgiveness. Verse 4, "The Lord on high is mightier than the noise of many waters." In Jesus we rest in something unshakable. Where the noise of sin abounds, the noise of grace abounds much more. He pronounces you forgiven. And in that promise, he gives heaven to you. His testimonies are sure. They cannot be shaken as he cannot be shaken. Verse 5, "Your testimonies are very sure." They're firm. They're reliable. We can lean on them safely. As solid as a rock. Colossians chapter 3, Paul writes of this rule of our Lord, "Let the peace of God rule in your hearts. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly, in all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with grace in your hearts to the Lord. Here is where we draw near to his heavenly kingdom, as the word transports us from earth to heaven to bring God and all his blessings to us. As Luther confessed, God's kingdom comes when our heavenly Father gives us his Holy Spirit, so that by his grace we believe his holy word and live a godly life here in time and hereafter in eternity. Where the word is read and heard, preached and believed, his kingdom is with us. He declares you holy to bring you into his presence. Holiness adorns your house forever. Where we draw near in the word, we now are adorned with that holiness which reigns forever. Which means when the waves crash, when they tear down those structures that we like to lean on, the word provides support, stands firm, shouts above the crashing waves, "The Lord reigns." The Lord is mightier than many waters. Therefore, we cry out with the 24 elders in Revelation 11, "We give you thanks, O Lord God Almighty, the one who is and who was and who is to come, because you have taken your great power and reigned." In Jesus' name, amen. We rise. The peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus.